Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Saturday. It's June the 24th. It's day 175 in our journey through the Bible. How about that? 175 days into this. And what a blessing it's been each day finding God's kindness coming to us through the pages of scriptures. And I hope that you're able to recognize that. That's what I want my heart to see. That's what my heart has seen. Is that God is kind. That God is making a way for us to make it home. And we see that in the pages of these scriptures that we come to each day. God is at work. God is conspiring. God is building. He's building his kingdom. And today we're going to take a look into that kingdom work as we look into the book of 2 Kings chapters 11 and 12, 2 Chronicles 24, and 1 Timothy chapter 6. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Athaliah reigns in Judah. When Athaliah, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, learned that her son was dead, she began to destroy the rest of the royal family. But Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Ahaziah's infant son Joash and stole him away from among the rest of the king's children who were about to be killed. She put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom, and they hid him from Athaliah, so the child was not murdered. Joash remained hidden in the temple of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah ruled over the land. In the 7th year of Athaliah's reign, Jehoiada the priest summoned the commanders, the Karite mercenaries, and the palace guards to come to the temple of the Lord. He made a solemn pact with them and made them swear an oath of loyalty there in the Lord's temple. Then he showed them the king's son. Jehoiada told them, "This is what you must do. A third of you who are on duty on the Sabbath are to guard the royal palace itself. Another third of you are to stand guard at the Sur gate. And the final third must stand guard behind the palace guard. These three groups will all guard the palace. The other two units who are off duty on the Sabbath must stand guard for the king at the Lord's temple. Form a bodyguard around the king and keep your weapons in hand. Kill anyone who tries to break through. Stay with the king wherever he goes." So the commander did everything as Jehoiada the priest ordered. The commanders took charge of the men reporting for duty that Sabbath, as well as those who were going off duty. They brought them all to Jehoiada the priest, and he supplied them with the spears and small shields that had once belonged to King David and were stored in the temple of the Lord. The palace guards stationed themselves around the king. With their weapons ready, they formed a line from the south side of the temple around the north side and all around the altar. Then Jehoiada brought out Joash, the king's son, placed the crown on his head, and presented him with a copy of God's laws. They anointed him and proclaimed him king, and everyone clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise made by the palace guards and the people, she hurried out to the Lord's temple to see what was happening. When she arrived, she saw the newly crowned king standing in his place of authority by the pillar, as was custom at the time of the coronation. The commanders and the trumpeters were surrounding him, and people from all over the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. When Athaliah saw this, she tore her clothes in despair and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" Then Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders, who were in charge of the troops, "Take her to the soldiers in front of the temple and kill anyone who tries to rescue her." For the priest said, "She must not be killed in the temple of the Lord." So they seized her and led her out to the gate where the horses entered the palace grounds, and she was killed there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they would be the Lord's people. He also made a covenant between the king and the people, and all the people of the land went over to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They demolished the altars and smashed the idols to pieces, and they killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Jehoiada the priest stationed guards at the temple of the Lord. Then the commanders, the Karite mercenaries, the palace guards, and all the people of the land escorted the king from the temple of the Lord. They went through the gate of the guards and into the palace, and the king took his seat on the royal throne. So all the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was peaceful because Athaliah had been killed at the king's palace. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. 2 Kings chapter 12. Joash repairs the temple. Joash began to rule over Judah in the 7th year of King Jehu's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother was Zebiah from Beersheba. All his life, Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight because Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Yet even so, he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burnt incense there. One day King Joash said to the priests, "Collect all the money brought as a sacred offering to the Lord's temple, whether it is a regular assessment, a payment of vows, or a voluntary gift. Let the priests take some of that money to pay for whatever repairs are needed at the temple." But by the 23rd year of Joash's reign, the priests still had not repaired the temple. So King Joash called for Jehoiada and the other priests and asked them, "Why haven't you repaired the temple? Don't use any more money for your own needs. From now on, it must all be spent on temple repairs." So the priests agreed not to accept any more money from the people, and they also agreed to let others take responsibility for repairing the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest bore a hole in the lid of a large chest and set it in the right-hand side of the altar at the entrance of the temple of the Lord. The priest guarding the entrance put all the people's contributions into the chest. Whenever the chest became full, the court secretary and the high priest counted the money that had been brought to the Lord's temple and put it into bags. Then they gave the money to the construction supervisor, who used it to pay the people working on the Lord's temple. The carpenters, the builders, the masons, and the stonecutters. They also used the money to buy the timbers and finished stone needed for repairing the Lord's temple, and they paid any other expenses related to the temple restoration. The money brought to the temple was not used for making silver bowls, lamp snuffers, basins, trumpets, or other articles of gold and silver for the temple of the Lord. It was paid to the workmen, who used it for the temple repairs. No accounting of this money was required from the construction supervisors because they were honest and trustworthy men. However, the money that was contributed for guilt offerings and sin offerings was not brought into the Lord's temple. It was given to the priest for their own use. About this time, King Hazael of Aram went to war against Gath and captured it. Then he turned to attack Jerusalem. King Joash collected all the sacred objects that Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Ahaziah, the previous kings of Judah, had dedicated, along with what he himself had dedicated. He sent them all to Hazael, along with all the gold in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. So Hazael called off his attack on Jerusalem. The rest of the events in Joash's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Joash's officers plotted against him and assassinated him at Beth Milo on the road to Selah. The assassins were Jozachar, son of Shemith, and Jehozabad, son of Shomer, both trusted advisors. Joash was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Amaziah became the next king. 2 Chronicles 24. Joash repairs the temple. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother was Zebiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight throughout the lifetime of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada chose 2 wives for Joash, and he had sons and daughters. At one point, Joash decided to repair and restore the temple of the Lord. He summoned the priest and the Levites and gave them these instructions: "Go to all the towns of Judah and collect the required annual offerings, so that we can repair the temple of your God. Do not delay." But the Levites did not act immediately. So the king called for Jehoiada the priest and asked him, "Why haven't you demanded that the Levites go out and collect the temple taxes from the towns of Judah and from Jerusalem? Moses, the servant of the Lord, levied this tax on the community of Israel in order to maintain the tabernacle of the covenant. Over the years, the followers of wicked Athaliah had broken into the temple of God, and they had used all the dedicated things from the temple of the Lord to worship the images of Baal. So now the king ordered a chest to be made and set outside the gate leading to the temple of the Lord. Then a proclamation was sent throughout Judah and Jerusalem telling the people to bring to the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, had required of the Israelites in the wilderness. This pleased all the leaders and the people, and they gladly brought their money and filled the chest with it. Whenever the chest became full, The Levites would carry it to the king's officials. Then the court secretary and an officer of the high priest would come and empty the chest and take it back to the temple again. This went on day after day, and a large amount of money was collected. The king and Jehoiada gave the money to the construction supervisors, who hired masons and carpenters to restore the temple of the Lord. They also hired metal workers, who made articles of iron and bronze for the Lord's temple. The men in charge of the renovation worked hard and made steady progress. They restored the temple of God according to its original design and strengthened it. When all the repairs were finished, they brought the remaining money to the king and Jehoiada. It was used to make various articles of the temple of the Lord, articles for worship services and for burnt offerings, including ladles and other articles made of gold and silver. And the burnt offerings were sacrificed continually in the temple of the Lord during the lifetime of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada lived to a very old age, finally dying at 130. He was buried among the kings in the city of David because he had done so much good in Israel, for God and for his temple. But after Jehoiada's death, the leaders of Judah came and bowed before King Joash and persuaded him to listen to their advice. They decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they worshipped Asherah poles and idols instead. Because of this sin, divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. Yet the Lord sent prophets to bring them back to him. The prophets warned them, but still the people would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. He stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's command and keep yourselves from prospering? You have abandoned the Lord, and now he has abandoned you." Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah, and King Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. That was how King Joash repaid Jehoiada for his loyalty, by killing his son. Zechariah's last words as he died were, "May the Lord see what you are doing and avenge my death." In the spring of the year, the Aramean army marched against Joash. They invaded Judah and Jerusalem and killed all the leaders of the nation. Then they sent all the plunder back to their king in Damascus. Although the Arameans attacked with only a small army, the Lord helped them conquer the much larger army of Judah. The people of Judah had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, so judgment was carried out against Joash. The Arameans withdrew, leaving Joash severely wounded. But his own officials plotted to kill him for murdering the son of Jehoiada the priest. They assassinated him as he lay in his bed. Then he was buried in the city of David, but not in the royal cemetery. The assassins were Jozachar, the son of the Ammonite woman named Shemith, and Jehozabad, the son of the Moabite woman named Shomer. The account of the sons of Joash, the prophecies about him, and the record of his restoration of the temple of God are written in the commentary on the Book of the Kings. His son Amaziah became the next king. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All slaves should show full respect for their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. If the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their back on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness, with contentment, is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things, pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now on until our Lord Jesus comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Seven years is a long time. Athaliah, the evil queen, is ruling the land and the people of God for seven long years. 7 years have passed since she murdered her own grandchildren. Athaliah was a chip off the old block. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And she was evil and she wore the crown for 7 years. It may seem that after 7 years, things will always be as they are, that things will never change. But things are not always as they seem, and they will not always be as they are. God's kingdom is advancing, even when evil is wearing the crown. Hidden away, out of sight, inside the temple is a son, and at just the right time, he will be revealed. Because just when it seems that things will never change, we will see that God has been at work, and soon the son will have the crown placed on his head, and he will take his place on his rightful throne. And the evil that once seemed so entrenched will be forever done away with. In this moment, we see a picture of what God is up to, an incomplete picture, yes, but it is a picture of God at work behind the scenes. Joash is not the king we are looking for, no. No, our king will not falter the way that Joash does later on in his life. No, the king who is there, the king who is waiting to be revealed to all, is Jesus. And he will not fail. He will accomplish all his Father has asked of him, and he will reign forever. And the prayer of my heart is that I will see in the pages of Scripture that God is at work behind the scenes, and that there is a real king alive and waiting for just the right time of his appearing, and that I will not despair in the face of evil, rather that I will hold on to the hope of his coming, that I will see, that I will hear loud and clear that our king is coming. God has a plan. He's working his plan. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a prayer that I have for my own heart today. And it's a prayer that I have for my wife, my daughters, my son, and for you, because I know that sometimes we go through seasons. Sometimes 7 years is a long time. And when we look around, it looks as if God is not there, that there is no plan, that evil seems to somehow have won the day. But I want to remind you today that God is at work, that there is a king who's been there all along, and he will be revealed. And he will bring his kingdom and his peace and his victory to this world and to your life. Amen. Well, dailyradiobible.com. That's home base out here. That's where we're hanging our hat out here in the interwebs. And it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know, will you? Speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to a few folks. To Marie Mueller, all the way from the land of New Zealand. Marie, blessings, my friend. I'm sure your beautiful country is just as magical as I have it in my mind. And one of these days, Lord willing, I would love to go there. Love to do a little fly fishing there in New Zealand. Hey, I also want to send a shout out to Tracy Chic Rodriguez. Tracy, blessings, my friend. And also to Chuck Gooden. My old friend Chuck, from our days back in Virginia, blessings on you, my brother. Welcome to Ohio. Glad to have you here for a few days. Well, I'm glad to spend time with all of you, no matter whether you're coming from Ohio or New Zealand or places in between. I can't believe that we get to do this. Can't believe we get to spend time together in God's Word and be reminded that our King is coming. Hey, I want to remind you of some other things, too. One is to share the app. We've made it so easy, and this weekend would be a great weekend to share this ministry with your friends. It's so easy to do. All you have to do is click on the Share the App button and pass it on. There's about 5 different ways that you can share it with your friends, and it's free. There are people out there who are hungry for the Word of God, who need reminding that God's got a plan, and he's at work in their life, and that he is good. Another thing I would love for you to do would be to sign up for our newsletter. We send this out about once a month, maybe twice a month, so we're not going to overrun your inbox. It's a way for you to pray for us, to stay in the know about the things that are happening with the Daily Radio Bible, like our upcoming trip to Israel, as well as to my speaking schedule. And if you're interested in having me come and speak at your church, that is really cool, and I would love to do that. Be honored to do that. You can find out information about that on our newsletter. And last of all, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated. This ministry doesn't survive. It's not here if people like you aren't here partnering with us to make it happen. So thanks for your partnership. If you'd like to join that happy band of folks that are teaming up to make the Daily Radio Bible a reality each day, you can do that by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the partner link. You can also give right from the app itself. All you have to do is click on the donate link there. Or if you're old school, you can mail your gift to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be your strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.